Engineering Radio, building extraordinary relationships with your show hosts, Thomas and Patricia Strausser. This will be an uplifting hour filled with information, inspiring interviews, and music to connect you to your own spiritual energy. Sit back, relax, and enjoy this show that could transform your life.
Good morning. Welcome to Spiritual Engineering, the new science for happiness and extraordinary relationships with Tom and Patrice Strausser.
Good morning. It's another beautiful day here in Colorado.
It's beautiful. It's cloudy.
It's beautiful. I can see.
And it's cold.
It's cold. But it is. You know, that's one thing to mention that I don't know. I may have mentioned here before. I've written about it, but I actually lost my eyesight in 1994. I went blind and did not think I would ever see again. I was blind for some time. I lost the corneas of my eyes to a bacteria, and so any morning now that I get up, and when I can, I don't always do it, but some mornings I wake up and I'm just so grateful to be able to see. Just something like that that we take
mm-hmm.
for granted. And,
yep.
Patty, you know, you and I have talked before. How many things we take for granted
right.
that are of really great value to us? I mean, something like that. Being able to see, we just take it for granted. Being able to walk. Because, you know, there's been times that you've had to take me places. I've been in the wheelchair from an accident or something. And when you can't walk or can't drive, then you appreciate it. But there's so many things in life like that that we don't appreciate or know their value until we lose them. Wouldn't it be nice if we really could recognize other people's value and the value of relationships and the value of all the blessings we have before we lose them?
That's right, honey. So I must say, welcome to this beautiful morning, cloudy and cold morning in Colorado. Thank you. At least we are alive, right?
That's
okay.
Right.
Thank you to Cosmic Citizen for allowing us to do this weekly show and to bring this information that we have found throughout the years with Spiritual Engineering. And remind you that we have a website, www.spiritual-engineering.com, where you can visit, send you emails, and let us know how we're doing with the show. And today we will continue talking about betrayal, how we make amends. And before we begin, I would like to revisit the five requirements for change. How do we really know that a person wants to change? Let's suppose that you go into work, you're driving your car, and then you have a flat tire. I would like to ask you in that moment, do you have a problem or not? Yes, because if you don't fix your tire, it's going to affect your ability to go to work, to get your pay, et cetera, et cetera. So the first part of this process, the first step, is to recognize that we have a problem. We have a flat tire. Now, the second step is, do you want to solve the problem? In the case of the flat tire, ask yourself, do I want to solve the problem? Yes or not? What will happen if I don't do it? What will happen if I do it? Well, if I don't do it, probably I'm going to be stuck here in the road. I have to leave my car behind. But if I do it, I will solve this problem. I will find a solution. I will go on with my life. Okay, second step, want to solve the problem. Third step, look for a solution that works. So if I was me, I would be sitting in my car. I can say, well, I can call my husband and ask him to come and fix my tire, or I can call AAA, or I can call a friend. Different choices, different alternatives. And then we run through our mind, even we write them down, what are the possible alternatives to solve the problem. That's the third step. The fourth step is to choose a solution that works and implement it. Probably in my case, I would say, okay, I'm going to call AAA. My husband is too busy working. And since I don't know to change tires myself, that would be the best solution for me. And the final step will be to do maintenance so that problem doesn't occur again. So those are the five requirements to know, to definitely know for sure if a person is going to change or not.
That's right, and it does. It applies. These are universal principles. They may sound silly, but they apply whether it's out there on a flat tire, whether it's on a relationship, or whether it's on me trying to change. Those five factors have to be in place before any long-term change ever works. And this is something from observing people for 30 years and trying to find out how people change, what really leads to change, what does it take to affect the change in a person's life. And the sad thing is that there's a lot of people that want to change and think they should change, but they really don't have a way to affect the change in their life, and they're missing one of these five factors. But these things have to be in place. And whether that change comes from a bad pattern in our life, alcoholism, drug addiction, lying, anger.
Betrayal that we've been talking about.
But before we can have an effective change that's going to last, or before another person, we can depend on another person to change, those things have to be there. So those are the five factors for change that we look at, whether it's, and it's a perfect example, changing a flat tire, whether it's solving a problem at work, or whether it's working on something in a relationship. How do we know if there is a good chance for change? And when those five factors are there, or we can help them be there, because, you know, the one thing that we can't do in that is instill in another person the desire for change. We can help them find the solutions, evaluate solutions. We can help them do a lot of things. But we cannot instill in that other person that desire for change. And sometimes we cannot even help them understand the need for change. I mean, somebody may have a very obvious problem, again, back to drinking or gambling or something like that, something that's devastating the family. And they cannot see it. This thing they call denial in 12-step programs. But this thing can really, really preclude any change. It can keep it away because people cannot see what their own problem is. So they have to be aware of the problem, they have to want to change, and they have to have these things in place. And there are certain parts of these that we can help another person
with. But the problem with that, I think, that is because let's say in the case of a person that is chronically unfaithful,
yeah.
And this is what we've been talking about, chronically unfaithful. This person is unfaithful because he wants to fill a void that they have within themselves.
Exactly.
And it's very difficult for that person to self-impose a change without addressing that inner void, that emotional void that is producing and resulting in that specific behavior. So that's why spiritual engineering offers a step-by-step process to identify the root of the problem, and work it out from there, because the mind alone cannot do it. Yes, this mind is very powerful, but this mind is very indisciplined. And a person who is chronically unfaithful may promise to himself, to his family, that is going to change that behavior, but they're going to find out that it's going to be very difficult to do it without a process that works.
And you bring up, again, these are the points that we cover in spiritual engineering, this idea that when most of these things, or many of these things, come from a person, from each of us, having this void, this hole inside of us. And I want to talk about that for a moment, because one of the things that... integrity is a word that we use. Integrity. You know, I've worked for the biggest companies in the world, literally, and all over the world, from Shell Oil International to Exxon to the big companies. And a lot of them told me that they wanted me to have integrity. But the problem was their idea of integrity and what it really means is a little bit different. You know, integrity comes from the root word integer, the quality or condition of being whole, complete, unimpaired. Listen to that, whole, complete, unimpaired. And what develops in us as we grow up, especially in this Western culture, instead of being whole, we have a hole. We have this void inside of us, the feeling that something is missing.
Mm-hmm.
And then we go out and try to fill that. Now, we're told that if we are, we look a certain way, if we buy a certain product, if we do this, we'll
feel better. Well, we are in a relationship.
In a relationship.
With any person,
yeah.
Any person, just in a relationship. So we don't look for a good partner. We just go and slide into relationships without thinking who is that person.
And we use people, chemicals, things, material things to fill that void, and it just does not work. So you're right. What we have to do is we work through life, and we've tried to fill this void, this hole inside us with so many different things, and it doesn't work. When we come to that point where we want to change, we have to recognize what we're filling this hole with, what we're using to fill that void. And when we recognize that and recognize the impact that it has in our lives, that can lead us to really want to change, whether that we're using the material things. And this is not negating, this is not disparaging anything material. It's just trying to put it in a different priority. It's all right to have the big car, the house, and things like that, if they are not the void fillers, the hole fillers.
The center of our life.
The center. That's right. If we are not using them to make ourselves feel good, to make ourselves feel whole and complete. How many times have you heard somebody say about a relationship, oh, boy, I love being with her. She makes me feel complete.
Right.
She makes me feel complete just by that very thing. A person is saying that I don't feel okay by myself. It takes another person.
Oh, people say, oh, he's my word.
Yeah,
he's
my
word. What will happen if these people, betrays them?
That's right. And
they will take the word away from them. What is left behind? A bigger hole.
I bet. And that's just it. And this is the difference. And this is so important. And I've talked about this before. And again, back to the cold, hard facts. I love, you know, the different things, but these facts are so important. First-time marriages. Marriage is our relationship that we spend the most time, energy, effort, money, and everything on. First-time marriages fail 48% of the time. 48%, but that's not the worst part. Second-time marriages fail at a 67% rate. Third marriages fail 73% of the time. Now listen to that. What other thing? Marriage fails first time 48%, second time 67%, third time 73%. And those are the statistics in the United States, and they're from two sources that have about the same numbers. The Census Bureau has that, and divorce.org, which is just an organization that basically accumulates people statistics on people about divorce and tries to help them through it. But this is something that indicates that, you know, we don't know how to have relationships. This is our best relationship, and it's failing, and a lot of it has to do with betrayal.
Now, why the statistics keeps growing? We're going from 60% to 70%. Why is that happening?
Because we work on the symptom instead of the root problem. And you mentioned that one of the things that engineering does is help us identify, separate the symptoms from the problem. Identify that root problem. The first thing, you've stacked up when you're a kid or something, stack up a row of dominoes. And when you stack them up and then you tip that first domino, the whole row goes down, right down the line.
Uh-huh.
Well, the root cause is the first domino, the thing that starts everything. And what we have to do and what engineering process does is have a very precise way to eliminate the symptoms and identify the root cause. And the root cause for most of these problems in relationships comes back to the fact that we don't have the tools to make really good decisions, and we don't have a healthy self-love.
Okay, let's say a person is in a relationship and he or she finds out that his partner, her partner is being unfaithful. What this person should do, how they can address this problem?
Well, first of all, you have to find out, number one, we have to be certain, again, of the facts, not something we think, because a lot of times our perceptions are not accurate. I've talked before about our perceptions are so important, because you've seen the funhouse mirrors where you go to a carnival or a fair and you walk into the funhouse and the mirror house, and it makes you look skinny or fat or something like that. And we look at that and we laugh at it because we know that's not real. We know that's not real. But we have the same problem with perceptions mm-hmm. in our relationships and how we see our life. We get something in our mind and we see it, and we have to be certain that our perceptions are based on facts, because our perceptions are often fear-driven. We perceive something or we see something from the standpoint that, well, if this is taken away from me, what will happen? So we have to really look and make sure what we're seeing, how we're seeing it, is really what's happening.
Okay, honey, that sounds really good. My question was, you know for a fact that your partner is being unfaithful. It's not misperception, misunderstanding. It is a fact. What do you do about that?
Okay, you have to sit down and lovingly talk with that partner. And this is, again, one of the things that is so important about relationships is how we build these relationships. As I said, relationships, the way we have them in this Western culture, are in jeopardy. They are in terrible chaos. The way the 21st century model for relationships, based on spiritual engineering, says very simply that is building healthy, wonderful relationships is like building a house. You have a foundation, a walls, and a roof. You put the foundation up, then you put the walls up, and then you put the roof on. Three-step process. The foundation for the great relationships is a spiritual relationship that each person has to have, that spiritual concept, that contact with that inner spiritual power. We call it the thought adjuster. We have to have that contact. And then the walls, the relationship with self. We have to have a healthy self-love. We have to have our respect, our dignity, our own self-worth, not an egotistical type of self-love, but a healthy self-love. That's the walls. Then we put the roof on the relationships with other people. So when we have this actual betrayal in a relationship, we have to come back to this model for how healthy relationships are built and recognize that we have to sit down as a couple and go back and try to see what is the problem. And quite often the problem with betrayal is in that second part, the healthy self-love. That a person has went out and done something mm-hmm. to fill that void that they have inside of them, to make them feel good on a temporary basis, to do something from a self-will standpoint that they mm-hmm. know that is not right or something, and they have made a horrible mistake. And so we have to remember to keep this idea in mind that this is the way you build relationships, and this healthy self-love. That if I love myself and know that God loves me, I have much less tendency to do something, to break a trust, to break a loyalty, to betray
yes.
someone. I have much less tendency to do that. So I have to be able to look at myself and say, okay, why did I do this? How could I have done this
mm-hmm.
to someone I love so much and really want? I did not mean to do it. What is it in me? What is my failing? What is it there that really let me do this?
I think that you mentioned something very interesting in regards to the relationships, and I would like to elaborate a little more about the process on itself, the process to find a solution, which is, first, I have to ask myself, okay, I find out my partner has been unfaithful. Do I have a problem or not? Because for some people, that is not a problem. For others, it's a bottom line. You cannot put up with that. The second one is, what am I going to do about it? How am I going to handle this? Do I want to get a divorce or I want to work in the relationship? So we need to be very clear about the specific outcome of how I'm going to solve the situation. The third part is how I'm going to find a solution. And after you go through the process, you go and apply the same process, because remember, spiritual engineering is based on facts in a repetitive process that always works. So you go and do the same with the partner. And approaching the partner in that loving way, you can say something that is used in psychology, like an I statement. I am very hurt because I find out you being unfaithful to me. You're not accusing your partner. You are just stating the facts and how those facts make you feel. That is important. If your partner cares for you, even though they may be unfaithful, but if he cares or she cares for you, these words are going to resonate with that level of love. I'm hurt because I find out you're being unfaithful. So you are stating the problem. Then you can say, what do you think is happening here? So take a level of responsibility. What am I doing that is contributing to the problem? And it's a very difficult conversation because your emotions are totally stirred up and you are upset. But it's important to keep that level of serenity when we are addressing these problems in a relationship, especially if we want the relationship to work. Now, as you say before, honey, what are we going to do about this? Look at the problem as a we problem because it's affecting not only the partners, but if there are children involved, it will definitely affect the children as well. What are we doing? And start seeking for solutions. We're going to the counselor, we're going to the priest, we're going to the rabbi. I mean, we're going to our parents. What are we going to do about it?
Excellent, because when we have this and we're ready to sit down and talk, one of the things from experience, again, from experience, that helps find solutions is to recognize that we have this spiritual component, this spiritual part of each of us as individuals. And if we have that really great relationship, we have that spiritual foundation in the relationship. So we start this conversation. We pray together before we initiate the conversation.
Mm-hmm.
We sit down and recognize that, God, we have something very serious to talk about. Help us. Help us not to react emotionally. Help us, you know, quiet our emotions. Help our mind to see the solution in this. Help us to be loving. Help us to love each other the way you and Jesus have taught us to love. Help us to do this. But we invoke this spiritual part and invite this spiritual partner, the spiritual manager, to be part of this conversation. And when we do that, we find that this is what we're talking about when we're talking about personality unification. Our minds are on the way to being spiritually directed. Our minds, like you said, are undisciplined.
Yeah.
And this is the way we discipline our minds. We have an inner spiritual power to help us guide and direct the way we think, and give us power to change the way we think. So we invoke this spiritual power as part of the conversation. We recognize this inner spiritual force to be part of the solution, the driving part of the solution. So this is so important that when we have these types of major conflicts and contentions within a relationship, that we bring it back to the spiritual basis, the spiritual solution.
So one of the ways to, for a person who has betrayed the trust of the partner, one of the ways to build this trust back again is making amends. The amends are making not only by saying, I'm going to change, but participating in this process, like being accessible to have the conversation. That's the first sign that my partner wants to engage in a change. He wants to talk about this. He wants to admit his level of responsibility in the affair or in the betrayal. He wants to go seek for the solution. We're talking about it, and then we're going to the psychologist together. We're going to do follow-up with the recommendation, the suggestion. And finally, we're going to implement solutions, activities in the relationship that are going to build from the foundation up, like starting playing together, like having fun together, like planning those kind of things that we take for granted, just for the couple to kind of rekindle that love, that romanticism that it was there in the beginning and it's been wearing out through the time. And then after we do that, we both have to engage in that process of maintenance. But one of the ways our partner can show that they're serious about making these amends is by cooperating in the solution of the problem and doing the required maintenance to work in their relationship, to work in their persona, to work within themselves as individuals, to build and to try to fill that void.
That's right. And one of the things that we also need to remember is that when a trust is broken, as I mentioned last week and at other times before, trust is such a fragile thing that we can prove our trustworthiness 100 times and live up to that trustworthiness and loyalty and love 100 times. But if we have one major break, one major thing to where we violate that trust, but we have a betrayal, an actual betrayal, then that trust is, that total 100 is wiped out. It's not a matter of one, of having equal time or anything like that. When we break that trust one time, it becomes very difficult and very, even more fragile. So we have to be careful not to break it, but when it happens, how do we restore that trust? And again, like you're saying, Patty, we have step-by-step process. That's always process. It's always the process, because that's what works. And we have the process of asking for forgiveness, of making amends, and then of actually doing something. So how do we make amends? And the first thing we do is recognize our shortcomings, recognize and try to apologize and commit to change, and then take the steps for change. That's what the partner does that has violated the trust. We have to make the effort. We have to pray, and we always pray, because this gives us that spiritual power, that spiritual direction for our thoughts and our actions. This gives us the direction for change, what we have to do, and the power to accomplish that change. So we engage in a lot of prayer to help us change and help us be better. The partner who was betrayed, who found themselves betrayed, if they want to keep this relationship and try to mend this relationship, it's very, very difficult. But we have to, that person, I have to pray for open-mindedness and willingness to change. If I'm not willing to accept and forgive, I have to pray for the willingness. And you've said before, sometimes that's the key. I have to pray for the willingness to be willing. So I have to use prayer a lot in changing my thinking and my attitude, and balancing being accepting and loving without being enabling. And it's such an important thing that we cannot be a doormat for another person. The idea to be humble and meek and loving never, ever means that we allow someone to abuse us or use us or even manipulate us. So it's a balance. And what lets us walk that line in a healthy way in this balance is the spiritual power that we have within us. We tap into that power. We tap into that energy, that force. And that is what gives that person, the one who has been betrayed, gives them the direction and the ability to change and accept in a healthy way and try to mend that relationship, to try to be forgiving without forgetting the incident, to try to release the emotions but not forget the experience. So it's a very fine line that we have to walk, and it's fragile. It's very fragile, and it takes time. If that trust is broken one time and we betray one time, it cannot be rebuilt in a few moments or a few days. It takes time, and then it takes repeating that trust and repeating that 100 times.
The maintenance,
right? And we have to rebuild, so it takes time, baby.
That is amazing. It is amazing. And something that I would like to introduce is the concept, Jess, that we almost out of time. But spiritual engineering is a scientific process that takes a lot of principles from physics, from chemics, and applies to relationships and emotions. That's what it makes this process so predictable, repeatable, and it's going to work. And remember, we have a website, www.spiritual-engineering.com, and also we have a Spanish show and a television show in Spanish, so we're getting out there. Thank you, dear friends, for being with us today. Have a wonderful week, and we'll see you next week.
Have a great week. Thank you all. Thank you, Cosmic Citizen.
Thank you for being on the chat line, friends.
Thank you for experiencing Spiritual Engineering Radio. To connect with your show hosts, Thomas and Patricia Strausser, please visit www.spiritual-engineering.com. Spiritual Engineering Radio, building extraordinary relationships for the 21st century.